appliance discounters. All of them have amazing showrooms with creative and colorful appliances. Check out their website for installation specials on select models and rebates of between 10 and 15% of your entire purchase. They also have a service department that services everything they sell, open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, beginning at 10 a.m. And their motto, our savings are your savings. And remember, when you buy from appliance discounters, you buy from locally owned operators. Check out their website, theappliancediscounters.com. From the 590 The Fan KFNS Studios in Kirkwood, I'm Tim Woodburn, and just around the corner is hour number two of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon with Frank O'Pinion.
With standards of personalized service unmatched in the area and a highly trained staff, the Gatesworth has been designed to provide the most exceptional environment possible. Centrally located just minutes from everything downtown Clayton offers, the Gatesworth features three different restaurants headed by an award-winning chef, weekly musical performances and lectures, a spa, a movie theater, and even a putting green. The Gatesworth, striving to make the lives of residents more convenient, enjoyable, and vibrant. Visit thegatesworth.com for more information.
Who's ready for a USDA Prime steak? You won't find USDA Prime beef at the grocery store because it's graded as the highest 2% of beef sold in the country, and its supply is gobbled up by all the finest restaurants. At Surf and Sirloin, located on eastbound Manchester Road just west of 270, that's what's on the menu. USDA Prime, 14-ounce New York strip, 16-ounce ribeye, 22-ounce porterhouse, or a barrel-cut filet mignon. And with fresh seafood flown in daily, Surf and Sirloin. For reservations, call 822-3637 or through the app Open Table or online at surfandsirloin.com.
Barley is the soul of Budweiser. That's why we've been working with the same family-owned American farms for more than 50 years to harvest it. The secrets to growing this grain perfectly have been passed down through three generations. For them, it's a legacy. And it's why only the best barley and locally sourced ingredients are used to make Budweiser. Budweiser is proudly raised across America. This Bud's from our barley farmers. This Bud's for you. Enjoy responsibly. Budweiser Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
From flint tools to shark teeth to the first copper razor, we always knew that a great shave comes down to the simple, sharp, durable blades. The ancient Greeks didn't need flex balls or heated handles, and that's why Harry's doesn't add gimmicky features to their razors. Get a five-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just use Inside STL at Harry's.com. Harry's owns their own factory, and they've been churning out quality for almost a century. And it's not just the quality that I like. I can't get enough of the Easy Glide and Razor Close Shave. Harry's has an amazing offer for listeners of the show. New customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry's with code INSIDESTL at Harry's.com. That means you can get a five-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping when you use code INSIDESTL at Harry's.com. Go to Harry's.com today. Use code INSIDESTL at checkout to claim your offer.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America's asking you to call.
Well, drive, you know, ask and you shall receive. I said, wouldn't it be great if Dr. Doug could come in more often? Look who showed up. Dr. Doug Pernikoff. Live and in person in the studio, so we don't have to worry about him not knowing how to hold his telephone when he talks. Before we check in with him, and I might include him here in this discussion with these next two guys, live and direct from North County, world headquarters of Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, we have once again Jim Not-So-Slim Sappho and John Three Sticks Londoff, everybody. Come on, right to the conference room.
What's going on today?
Boys, how are you? Is it okay to say boys? Jim, how old are you?
I'm 60 years young.
You don't care if I say boys, do you, and include you along with Three Sticks as one of the boys? Is that okay?
That's fine. I'm a team player.
Nice. Three Sticks, how you doing?
Doing very well. How are you, Frank?
Terrific. Now, this is Wednesday. Wednesday we have with Dr. Doug Pernikoff, who's actually, if he'd like us to say hello now, he could. He's in the studio. Doc, I'm glad you're in the studio today.
Hello, everybody.
Now, do you have, since you're the guy who normally answers questions, do you have a question for Jim Not-So-Slim or for Three Sticks about a Chevy product? Or what do you drive? And tell the truth. No, there's no wrong answer here. What do you drive, Doc?
I have a Mercedes SLK 350 convertible.
Well, as Chris Farley would say, live, freaking
and it's a stick.
It's an old one and it's a stick. Well, if it's old, it may be time and a stick. How can you talk on the phone and eat a cheeseburger and drive with a stick shift? You can't do all that.
That's right, Rad Boy.
So here's the question. Would you consider, you think, at any point, a brand new Chevy or something real nice and pre-owned from Johnny Londoff? Would you consider that?
Yeah, in fact, I was up that area and I said, I got to stop. You have to think about it for me because I'm just moving back and forth. But I was going to stop in and look at one of the bigger cars. And I'm not really a car guy, so if I say something really stupid, let me know.
Well, but, if you're not a car guy, what about a Tahoe or a Suburban?
Yeah, the Suburbans I love. That would be my first choice.
Yeah, okay. Now, three sticks, or Jim, do you have a vet question? Because this is a great opportunity for you to get in front of everybody else who'll call. Have any vet, dog or cat or pet questions for Dr. Doug?
Nothing really off the top of my head.
Nothing off the top of my head. I got one little beagle at home, and then we got a yellow lab that we use for duck hunting. Other than that, they're both healthy, and that's all I got.
I have a question for you guys. Are those, is the leather and or the quality cloth, are those pretty resistant to pet claws and paws and urine
yes,
and
sir.
Stuff like
and
that?
Also, we can do what we call Zylon. It's a interior and exterior protection package, and that'll keep the soil from the dogs or stuff like that getting into the material of the interior.
Is that a one-time application once you have the car?
Yeah.
Or, okay.
One-time application when it's new.
I think the reason Dr. Doug asked that is either, A, it really is about pet stains, or B, Dr. Doug might have some leakage issues, and he just used the animals rather than say, you know, sometimes the Depends just don't hold it all, and I'm just wondering about those seeds.
At my age, that is a concern, and I have to admit that I often carry a large cup in the car.
For urgency. Yeah. Well, and I know why large, because I've had to carry a large one too, because I need a huge diameter.
I wish that
So not so slim and three sticks. What's going on today?
Nothing. We've been busy. Had a good day. Me and Johnny sound any better today?
Better than what? Better than
We got a whole new phone system here at the dealership.
You guys sound great.
I'm sorry. I couldn't understand you. What?
Money well spent, huh?
Sounds fine to me. But I didn't think you sounded bad before. But yeah, no, it's nice and clean and clear. Did the boss, did John, know you bought this system, or did you just do it when he wasn't looking?
Yeah, he was involved. When we need them big checks, we got to get him involved.
Okay. What do any potential car, truck, SUV crossover buyers need to know right now that you might have in the way of any special information or special deals or something just came in? What's like the hottest topic you can share with us?
Right now, it's through the end of the month, we've got up to 20% off of most of everything new we have in stock, which includes a lot of your SUV crossovers, your Equinox and your Trax. So
you consider an Equinox. An Equinox would be considered a crossover, right?
Yes, sir, yes.
Because some people call it a small SUV. I call it a crossover. You think they'll ever bring back the Avalanche?
I don't think so, unfortunately. And that's actually a question we get asked a lot, because when it was around, it was hugely popular, but
so why did they stop it? And if you get and if you get asked that question a lot, because I know one person in particular is a longtime friend of mine. He's had three or four of them, and he's really upset that they don't make them anymore. And I don't ever remember anybody that had an Avalanche that didn't love it. And I just wonder, why do they do that? Because you just said yourself it was hugely popular and people ask about it. So why? Why'd they stop?
We don't know why they make those decisions. That's just like the Chevy Cruze. It was our best-selling car, and they quit making it this year for 2020. So
they did?
In the world?
My daughter has a Cruze and absolutely loves it.
Yeah, fantastic vehicle.
Fantastic vehicle. It was a great vehicle for us up here, and they just decided they didn't want to make it no more, and everybody's dropping. Even the other brands, the other domestics, they're dropping cars and coming out with more SUVs, crossovers, stuff like that.
No, and I know that, and I've read those articles, and it's not just Chevy. So what actual cars will you still have in 2020? They're not going to drop the Malibu yet, are they?
No, sir. No, we'll have, it starts, you got like an entry level, like an, almost like an economy, four-door, the Spark. Then it goes up to a Sonic. Then now on to the Malibu, skipping over what was where the Cruise was, and then finally the Impala.
Well, they're keeping the Impala. It's the last year. It's the best Impala. It's the best Impala since 1964, and then they're stopping that too.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. Those people need some help in their decision making, I think.
Well, I was thinking that next year maybe me and Triple would run up and just start running GM.
There you go.
That might not be a bad idea. How's the Blazer doing? Because I love that Blazer.
Fantastic. It's a great, great vehicle. They did an unbelievable job with the redesign and reintroduction of the vehicle. We've got a ton on the lot right now. Just about any way you'd want it configured, we have it from, they have the RS, which has a kind of cool, sporty look to it with some, different accents on the vehicle that really make it stand out. We have those. We have some entry-level versions, and then all the way up to the Premier. So it's
I wish they'd do a Blazer with like a Corvette engine in it. I'm serious, because the biggest engine you can get is a 6. It's a pretty beefy 6, but you can't get an 8 in a Blazer, right?
Correct.
There is talk, Frank, of them bringing the Trail Boss back next year. Or Trailblazer, I'm sorry, the Trailblazer. And they are supposedly going to bring back the SS, which will have a V8 in it.
Whoa!
Well, let me tell you something. I have a Trailblazer, and I bought it from you guys, and it's an 04, which would make it, by the book, 16 years old right now, and I absolutely love it. It rides like a much bigger vehicle. It's a soft, luxurious ride, yet it'll go anywhere. You know, you manually select whether you want, you know, the two-wheel drive or the all-wheel drive or 4x4, which I like, and there is a difference. So that's good news. I'm glad to hear that.
Can I ask another question, Frank?
Sure, Doctor.
I really do love the Suburban, but I don't know a whole lot about it. I know you can get multiple tire sizes on that, and I guess if you get the, I think the bigger tire looks better on it, because it's going to feel, it fills.
That's what we did on, we have a Tahoe, and we did the bigger tire. It's like, I think ours is, it's either 20 or 22-inch tire. So what's your question?
Well, is that I was just wondering, is that an 8 engine? Always, or is it a 6 or 8?
Can I take a run at this and just take a shot at it, you guys, before you answer? Yeah, you can get a Suburban in a 6 or an 8, correct? Okay.
No, you can't. Just 8-cylinder.
I was wrong. Okay, I was wrong. Well, and by the way, I've had like 5 Suburbans, and I only want an 8. I wouldn't care anything about a 6-cylinder, but at least they finally put like that 6.2-liter big thing in there.
While you're driving, it will cycle down to a 6-cylinder as the vehicle is driving, just to help with the gas mileage. And it does it on its own as you're going down. You know, if you're like a highway or city driving and you're not really on the gas, you're just kind of riding along, it will
Our Tahoe does that, and you don't even know it's happening. You can't tell. It shuts down 2 cylinders.
Wow.
And you don't even know it. And as soon as you instantaneously hit the gas and you need all 8, boom. There they are. Yeah. It's pretty neat.
Well, I'll get up there for my, I really do want to come up and take a look at the Suburban, so I'll get up.
You promise?
I promise I'll go up this weekend, Saturday.
Okay, there you go. See, this phone call resulted in probably another customer, another sale. How about that? Yeah. That's a good thing. So you're open late tonight. I think you have to say it 3 times, according, you know, to the boss, and if you would please, unless there's something else you need to throw in here, we'll take that phone number.
It's 314-837-1800.
Wow, he did that really well.
I think he memorized it. I think.
Wow.
And 24/7 at Landoff.com. All right, new phone system sounds great. Go back to work. We will send you. My guess is you'll sell before the close of business today, at least 3 vehicles to AM and the PM customers before the end of this workday. That's my prediction.
You know what? That was Triple Sticks that gave the phone number, correct?
Yes, sir.
And did you notice how he ended that? He ended it saying 1800, not 1800 or anything like that. He said 100. That, I applaud you for that.
What are you trying to say?
It was very clear.
That his dad doesn't know how to do it?
No, I wasn't saying that at all.
No, but yeah, you were making fun of his dad because his dad says 314-837-1800.
Oh, he says 00, yeah. but Triple Stick said 1800. But where
you know
a lot
means?
Of people will
he's
say,
his own man.
He
That's
is.
What that means.
He is.
He's his own man.
I think it's great.
1800. All right. And you see what Dan did there? What Dan just did was just an excuse to give the phone number another couple of times.
Yeah.
He learned that.
And when I say in the playoffs, I say 1800.
You know what? It doesn't matter how you do it, as long as everybody gets it and calls it and goes there and buys there. That's all that matters. That's all that matters.
It's all that matters, sir.
All right, boys, we'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
All right, you too. There they go. Jim Not So Slim Sappho and John Triple Sticks Landoff. The Triple Sticks, because it's John Landoff the third, Roman numeral 3, which looks like 3 sticks, Triple Sticks. North County, Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270, and of course 24/7 at Landoff.com. Could I have that Dr. Doug music? There it is. That Bruce Limpress, I mean, he's got all the sheet music ready to go. He knows what he's doing. It is time to talk about your pets or pet or potential pet. If you're thinking about a rescue or a breeder or whatever, and I don't think there's any animal that's off limits. I don't believe anybody locally owns a rhinoceros, but if you did, he would probably be able to help you. He is Dr. Doug Pernikoff. He is your pet's best friend. He is the official veterinarian of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon, and he's brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States for all kinds of good reasons. The preferred window of the Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues, and you can find out more at windowworldstlouis.com. Let me give you the numbers. Please call now. All the lines are open, and he is live and in the studio, 855-282-8255. Or 314-821-0590, or as John Landoff would say, 00590. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hey, how is everybody today?
How are you? John Landoff likes to say we're open late, late, late tonight, and you always say hey, hey, hey 3 times.
3 times, it's because I am AM and the PM.
Well, of course you are.
Fat Albert do that, too?
Say what? Now, as the calls come in, and I hope they will, all the lines are open. I don't have any calls that I see coming in yet, but they will, because as soon as we go, time's up, they always call. So I'm not going to do that. What I am going to do is tell you that we have some good friends who have a... It's in the, what's the family the Westie is in? It's a terrier. It's a
right,
kind of...
Right.
What are those terriers called?
The ones that were like on the Judy Garland movie.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm having a little brain fart. Sorry.
I know there's West Highland Terrier.
It's not a Westie, it's
I know it's on the tip of my tongue too, and I can't think
I'm
of
getting
it. But
old.
They're on average about a 12-pound dog, 15, yeah. You know, something like that. And this is the saddest thing.
The dog's name was Toto, if you're wondering.
No, we know the dog's name. We're talking about the breed. Holy cow. By the way, Doc, it's Limey's 35th birthday.
It's a Karen Terrier.
Karen Terrier. That's
Karen Terrier.
Right.
That's what I said.
You're welcome.
So these friends... these friends of ours.
Wait a minute, do I have to give him a kiss for his birthday?
No, you don't. No, you don't.
I vote yes.
It's nice little handshake is just.
Why would you ask? Why would you ask?
It's that? A new world, and I'm just trying to fit in.
No. It's not a new world for me.
No, I'm not a new world in here.
No, not in this studio.
If you ask questions like that, you're going to have to begin your segment with, hey, hey, hey.
Yeah. So they have this dog, and whenever we see them, they have the dog with them. The dog jumps in the car. It's just a cute dog and a lively dog. And in a matter of just months, the last few months, we hadn't seen the dog for a while. And it's sad. The dog's 13 years old. And since we saw the dog last, it doesn't jump up. It doesn't bark. It doesn't act happy. It's completely deaf now. And it's just really sad because you can see the end is near. And the dog doesn't seem to be in pain, but I know what they're getting ready to face. I mean, we've talked about it a lot, and it's that horrible decision. It's just time to go. Now, there are people, I'm sure. No.
Oh.
I'm sure there are people. Limey, you need to apologize.
Oh. I'm sorry.
This is not Old Yeller.
Limey shoots the dog, and the vet's laughing about it.
Well, because he realizes that it was a joke. But, so here's the thing. There are people who can let a dog just die naturally, but I don't think most people do that. Do you?
That's not right.
No, when I hear that, people come into the clinic and they go, yeah, we just hope the dog will die at home. And I go, you know what? That's not cool. You know, it just feels like... in many cases, in most cases, in my experience, after 37 years.
Because they never just peacefully die to sleep,
do they? There's usually some kind of agonal event or they're toxic. Let's say their kidneys are failing and you can't tell what they're feeling. They're nauseated. You know, they don't have to go through that. I always tell people, if you have a sense that it's getting close to time, then, you know, talk about it. Talk about it with your veterinarian. And then plan to bring the dog in, and I think it's more gracious and kind to say it's time, and we want the dog to, or cat, whatever, to be put out when it's not feeling horrible. You know, who wants to wait till the dog is decrepit and it's suffering and it's obvious? So I tell people, you know, when they quit eating, they can't move around enough that it's worth it, you're carrying them around. It's a very personal decision, but your veterinarian can often help you make that decision.
Yeah, and then there's a point where you know nothing is going to get better. Hearing's not coming back. If they're blind, they're not going to get their sight back with a specific diet. It's just kind of over. But you said the one thing that separates them, well, lots of things do, but the one thing is they can't say, I feel like crap, or my back hurts, or I feel like my insides are on fire. They can't say that. You just have to go.
You have to be perceptive.
By the way. Yeah. And I hate it because even though it's not my dog, I've always loved this. The first time I ever, they ever came around with that dog, I just, you know, you ever meet a dog that belongs to somebody else and you're crazy about the dog the minute you meet him? It's just,
Yeah, then I just steal it.
Well, there are people who
no,
do
I
that.
No, I swear I never did that. I never did that.
There's no excuse for having lines open, but we do. We have calls, but we also have lines open. Let's not have any lines open. If you don't mind waiting a couple of minutes till somebody else has helped. One more time with the numbers, and then we'll jump in here. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. John, you're up first. Welcome to 590 and say hi to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Thank you, sir. Hi, Dr. Doug.
Hi, John. How can I help you?
I'm AM and the PM.
That's good to hear.
Well, I've got a dog on the other end of the spectrum. I have a 7-month-old golden. And every time we go out back, he puts his face on the ground and he sucks up anything that's carbon-based.
Well, stop going to Australia. Don't go to Australia. Every time you, Arthur said every time you go to the Outback. See what I did there? He said every time I go Outback. That's Australian humor. Thank you, everybody.
Awful.
Thank
Australian.
You. Thanks so much. Thank you, Tim.
Worse than Dan.
So when you say, what do you mean carbon? Scoop with his mouth, you mean? He eats?
He eats leaves, sticks, cigarette butts, paper.
Oh.
I mean, he...
We ought to take them down to Forest Park and let them clean.
Yeah. So what do you think, Doc? Is this normal?
I think it's a puppy exploring, and they can actually prevent that by keeping them on a close line, or they can get these muzzle kind of things that are cage muzzles, and just until he gets past this exploring stage, I mean, he's a puppy. They're going to put everything in their mouth, and they're going to try everything, and, you know, it typically isn't going to be an issue. Now, acorns, theoretically, can be toxic, and they come shedding down, you know.
They come what?
Shedding.
Oh, it sounded like you said S-H-I.
Yeah. I don't talk like that.
No. Well, I know you don't. You don't use any vulgarity.
Unless I'm referring to my wife. But
wow. You did it again. One day you're going to go home, Doc, and the locks will be changed. I'm not kidding.
Promise me.
And you'll be in the doghouse.
Oh, doghouse. I get it. Vet humor. That's good. So, John, apparently it's not the end of the world or going to kill him, but you probably need to stop it, I guess.
Right. If he got something that was either... Because they don't chew so much as they swallow. They're carnivores, right? So if he got something more substantive in his tummy, it could block his stomach. Or if he ate so much leaf matter, it could cause some kind of local blockage. So that's why you don't want him to do it. So either you got to control it as the parent, or you got to get some kind of, like I said, cage muzzle and try and give him some time to grow out of that period.
Now, you've mentioned this before. Is this a good idea for John, the shock collar? I know it sounds horrible, but it's just a low-voltage thing, just so that if he goes to eat a leaf or a cigarette butt, and he'll think twice. Is that a good idea?
I don't have the problem with it that a lot of people, there are people that are just purists, and they think it's, you know, anything like that would be horrible. But I think if you do it correctly and you use it in the right circumstances, you shouldn't have to use it. You know, very often.
It's not electrocuting him. It's not going to kill him.
Right. It's just going to be a negative reinforcement. But, you know, if you're really concerned, then do it under the guidance or the management of either your veterinarian or a trainer. And then you'll have, you know, you're going to be doing it correctly. So I'm okay right.
So, John, it's not going to kill the dog, but... and the dog may just stop doing it when it's no longer a puppy, too. That's
right.
The other thing.
Right.
All right. Anything
All
else,
right,
John?
Good to know.
Right. John, thank you for the call. Thank you for listening. We appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
John's gone, so line is open, 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Danny, say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hi, Dr. Doug.
Hi, Danny. How are you?
I got a question, and I'm doing good. I'm AM and the PM, by the way.
That's good. That's why you're doing so well.
Yes, right. So, now, this is kind of a little bit, might seem like a bizarre or strange question, but I'm just going to throw it out there anyway. My wife and I have kind of been battling this question for a long while, and it's regarding when a dog goes to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in other words, you know, I'm one of these types of individuals where I think it's cruel to leave the dog there all day, you know, when we're working, you know, so I, like, do what I can to take the dog out as many times as possible to go to the bathroom.
Right.
In her mind, mentally, she's like, no, we should train the dog where, you know, we get up in the morning, the dog goes to the bathroom, and then we come home, take the dogs out to go to the bathroom. It should be more than sufficient time. And I'm like thinking to my wife, I'm like going, what if I locked you in a closet and you got to go to the bathroom? You know what I'm saying? Like, and you got to go to the bathroom, what are you going to do? Okay, so, I mean, is it cruel to do that, like, you know, in the morning or evening? Because I try to take lunch break off to go and give them a little bit of a break. Leave, you know,
Danny, I don't know your wife, but she sounds like a horrible human being and a mean, mean animal hater, abusive animal hater. Before Dr. Doug answers, here's my take, and he can tell you whether I'm right or wrong. I think it does seem cruel to leave the house at 8 o'clock in the morning and have the dog in a cage and can't go to the bathroom till 5 or 6 o'clock. It just does. That seems extreme to me. Doc, what do you think?
Well, I kind of agree, although unfortunately, because most of us do have working couples, right? And kids are at school or whatever. So it's not unusual to see that kind of schedule imposed on the dog, but I agree. If you can get him out at least 3 times a day, that's a lot healthier for them. Because when they retain urine, for instance, that can help to stimulate the presence or the beginning of an infection in the bladder. And that can be a real problem. And we all know what it feels like to have to hold in for an excessive amount of time. So I agree with you.
It's horrifying.
Yeah, I would say if you can get them out.
The other thing, too, the only other thing I've been struggling with, and she thinks I'm crazy, is like nighttime bath breaks, too. I do that occasionally with them where, you know, I think I might go maybe a little overboard. And sometimes I'll even go like 2 o'clock in the morning and take them to go to the bathroom, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, sometimes I got to get up to go to the bathroom at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know. Not
yeah.
All the time, you know, hey, if I feel like I got to do it. Let them go outside too, right?
If you're willing to do it, that's your, you know, that's your commitment, and it's a good thing. Most people don't do that. You know, they try and get them out as late as possible, like 9 to 11, and they seem to do okay. But any more you can offer them, I think it's just being a good guy and a good dog.
Yeah, I try to be. I love my dogs are not my dogs. They are my kids.
I got it.
That's the way I see it.
And don't forget.
Now my wife loves them too. My wife loves them too, but.
I think women can hold in longer than men can.
Is that true?
Yeah. I believe that's true. Nobody believes me. Okay.
Well, then how come when you go to dinner, like two couples go to dinner, they always have to get up and go to the bathroom together? That's so they can talk about you. It has nothing to do with going to the bathroom.
I don't know. I've never figured that one out.
Daddy, I like your first idea. Make your wife lock her in a room for about 9 hours and then let her out to go to the bathroom. See how she likes that. That's not a bad idea. Danny, thank you for the call. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate you guys. Have a good one. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Now, that's one of the reasons when we both worked, we didn't have a dog because I couldn't stand the idea of, look, some days, are just days where, for whatever reason, you have an urge to go one more time than you do most days. And I always thought of the dog locked in a cage and really needing to go, but didn't want to go in a confined space. I just thought it just seemed cruel to me. So we wouldn't own a dog when we were both working. And we'll probably have, I hope, one other dog, but it's just because, you know, I can't let it out because I work a very long day, but she could certainly let the dog out.
Just get a doggy door.
Well, we actually have done that, too. We had one dog, a big dog, 80-pound dog. You know, not all doors have a knob. Some have that lever. We had a dog that we could let out, and she would jump up and, standing on her back legs, slap that lever and let herself back in the kitchen from the garage. The problem was she didn't close the door, but she could let herself in. I always thought that was great that she could do that. One line is open. We're going to go take another call after I give you the numbers again. 855-282-8255. 314-821-0590. Lori, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hi, Dr. Doug. Hi, Frank and gang.
Hi, hello, Lori.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm AM and the PM.
Thank you.
All right. What you got?
Dr. Doug, mm-hmm. I have a question.
Go for it.
In August, I adopted a 4-year-old female cat and a 4-month-old male kitten from a shelter. The 4-year-old female had been in a hoarding situation, so she has taken a lot of time to get her acclimated to home. She is supposedly spayed, but this week she's acting like she's in heat.
Mm-hmm. So she's walking around with her tail up in the air and
crouching down low.
She's looking for a man,
mm-hmm.
right?
Well, Lori just said that for 4 years the cat was a whore. She was in a whoring situation.
No, hoarding.
So of course she's used to doing it. What?
Hoarding.
Hoarding. Yeah, hoarding. Okay, I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
So I'm going to assume that the male is not her litter from her, right?
No.
Independent. Okay. So in that situation, a lot of these cats that come out of the rescue programs, it's not uncommon when they're moving so many animals through surgery and prepping them and all that, they can miss part of an ovary or just not do a complete surgery, and that allows them to continue to cycle. So one thing you can do is have your veterinarian take a blood sample when she's right in the middle of this kind of behavior. They can send it to a lab, and they can tell you that, oh, these hormones are up, and this cat needs to be reviewed again surgically. Or maybe it still has its full complement of ovarian tissue, and they missed it and didn't do that. So I think that's the logical thing to do. And,
okay.
And it's a pretty simple thing to do, or it might even be cheaper just to let them go back in and look. It's always best to do while they're acting in heat, because whatever material is left from the ovary is going to be more obvious and more visible for the veterinarian. That's a pretty simple
Great.
Procedure.
Well, thank you. I had no idea what to do, and I heard you on the radio today, and I said, I've got to call Dr. Doug. He'll know what to tell me.
Great.
Well, we're glad you did. You call anytime.
Yeah.
Thank okay. you. Thank you. Have a great All right. night, guys.
Bye, Laurie.
You too, Laurie. Now, this may sound like a crazy question, but I don't think it is. It seems to me that male animals get horny, you know, like humans do, but that female animals aren't ever horny. They just sort of put up with it, like a wife, maybe. But they, and because the dog is always chasing after the, you never hear about a female animal out on the prowl all horned up, backing up to some male animal. I mean, does that make sense?
That's called a cougar.
Yeah. Yeah. Does that make sense that they're just interested?
I think the cats in particular really respond to their hormone influences, and when they're in heat, you know it. More so than what you see. Now with dogs, it always seems that the dogs pick up the scent of a
human leg.
or a female dog in heat. And that, you know, that's what stimulates them to leave their yard and do all that kind of stuff. But, I kind of think when you talk about cats, and you're not a big cat person, but those cats, man, they really show it off when they're ready.
And then the male cats make these horrible noises, don't they, when they're out on the prowl.
Yeah.
There's a female in heat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dogs don't do that. They don't make a noise like a cat does. Humans do, but they don't.
I do, yeah.
we have callers. This is good. Let's go to Paul. Paul, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug.
Hi, Paul.
AM and the PM.
Thank you. What's so
funny?
Got
a quick question. Okay. I'm looking at this is a rescue dog or a adopt.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that can't keep the dog any longer. It's a female blue tick hound. She's mm-hmm. about 12 months old. Already been spayed and shots and all that kind of stuff. Just curious about the breed.
Yeah, I think they're great dogs.
It's a horrible name, blue tick. It's a bad name.
It'd be worse if it was Blue Dick, but it's not.
What?
Dr. Doug, what are you doing?
No, hold on.
No, I'm just being
That is acceptable. That is not an FCC violation.
Blue Richard?
Anyway, I think you've got a good pick. It's a young dog. Do you know why they had to give it up?
They've got another child. They got some young children, and there's another one coming along the way. And it's
now, boy, they probably knew that, though, didn't they?
Well, I would think so.
You think so?
Is this a big dog? Do these dogs get big? These blue ticks?
No, usually you're looking at I would say 40 to 60 pound dog. Is it purebred, or do you know?
It's supposed to be. Okay.
Yeah, they're good dogs. They're smart. You know, they do like to explore the woodlands, so you have to make sure that it doesn't go prowling. But, yeah, no, I think I've always enjoyed that breed. So I think it's a good choice.
Yeah, from what I've read, they seem to make good house pets.
They do, yeah. And companion dogs. They get very loyal to... like typically right. one or two people in the household. So
okay.
Well, I'd go for it.
That was my question. So,
all right, Paul.
I thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for calling,
all
for
right.
listening.
Take
now, doctor, you, every once in a while, you throw some interesting comments out there. When I said, I don't like that name, Blue Tick, you said, well, it'd be better than a Blue Dick Hound. And when you... in your mind, when you came up with that name, did you spell it B-L-U-E, a blue dick hound, or, well, forget it. Let's go to Jeremiah. Wow, I like that name. Jeremiah, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Yes, sir. Hello, Dr. Doug.
Hi, Jeremiah. How are you?
Hi, good. I got kind of a two-parter, okay. Unrelated questions, though. I have,
can I mention something, Jeremiah, about you that they may not know? Jeremiah, you know who Shirley MacLaine is, and she claims she had past lives and stuff? Jeremiah, I think I know Jeremiah. This is not his first life. It's his second life. Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much.
I have no idea. Really.
It's a
what
song.
That was.
Hold on. Jeremiah, you have no idea.
Was a bullfrog.
Three Dog Night. You don't know that song?
70s line. Not familiar with
it. Three Dog Night, but the name of the song was not that. It was actually Joy to the World.
That's true, but that still doesn't make the joke any less hilarious. So, what do you have, Jeremiah, for Dr. Doug? I'm sorry.
Okay. Question one is, I got two Louisiana Catahoula Leopard dogs, a mother and a son, and for some reason they like to eat like paper products, like napkins, Kleenexes. Matter of fact, they're probably eating my toilet paper right now.
And okay, hang on a second. Hang on. What was the name of this dog again?
Catahoula.
I've never heard of
it. Yeah, Catahoula. You'll have to look it up. They're a really interesting breed. It's called Louisiana Catahoula Leopard Dog.
Yeah, I love that name.
I think they're around. They don't get up much bigger than 35 to 40 at the most, I think. And
My female, she's about 75, and my male is 90.
Wow, you must feel stupid.
Are those purebred?
The cool thing about them, they have a lot of variance within the breed, so you can have them on the smaller side, and then you can have some monsters, too.
Wow.
But they've been eating, like, at first I thought I kind of had it, like, narrowed down to, like, if it had, like, food residue or something on the napkin or paper towel. But now it seems like they're like attracted to it, to where even if it's an unused item, they eat it, like almost like as a treat or something. And I know it's probably not going to hurt them because it'll just pass through. But I'm kind of wondering what would be their fascination with wanting to eat paper. Yeah. You know, does it taste good to them?
I'm guessing that it either is the texture or some kind of, you know, I'm sure they use preservatives in these products before they make them commercial. And I'm betting some part of that is interesting. And then behaviorally, they probably feed off of each other's interest. So once they start exploring it, they keep going for it. So your best opportunity is to literally take it out of their environment and not allow them to explore. Okay.
Okay.
Because otherwise, they could have problems. Again, they could block themselves, obstruct themselves with a ton of paper. Product, and you might not know it.
The upside to a dog eating toilet paper is, as you pass it, you're actually wiping. The dog is wiping himself as he passes. that's kind of the good news.
Or the other way to look at it is, if the dog eats the used toilet paper, then they don't have to waste money flushing the toilet.
See, why did you?
throw that out there?
It's just my scientific thought process.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah. Okay.
So does that help?
On that note, what about?
Hello.
I'm sorry, Jeremiah.
I couldn't hear you, Jeremiah.
Hello. I've heard from various people that they say that if it's a raw chicken bone, it's okay. Is that true?
Versus what, a cooked chicken bone?
Correct.
Well, I didn't hear the first part of it, but a chicken bones. You know, it's not a problem until it's a problem. They splinter. And when they splinter, they can pierce the lining of the GI tract. So I try and avoid them, you know. Admittedly, when I'm eating chicken wings and stuff, I often eat part of the bone, too. I'm just kind of a carnivore. I chew them down.
What?
You chew chicken bones?
Yeah, I don't want them to go to waste. But I feel like
disgusting.
For pets. See, you're learning so much about me. I may not get invited back next week, but this situation.
How about leave now? I'm kidding.
I'm careful about that because, like I said, it isn't an issue until you have an issue, and then you're spending money going to the emergency clinic, trying to pluck out a bone that's stuck somewhere in the esophagus, and that's costly and painful. So don't feed them. You know, I just don't think you should. Okay?
It's not like they get a steady diet or anything. I just occasionally, but actually my second question was, and I want to foreshadow this by saying that I've researched, like the actual like purebred dogs and whatnot, at some point they're kind of like inbred. It's called line breeding.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to know, both of my dogs, I got the mom and the son.
Mm-hmm.
So they have I wanted to know if that's too close, if I wanted to breed those back to one another, if that would, like, what would it be like, like, would it be like humans where, like, you know, the puppies are, like, all, like
messed up?
They'll play. Well, they'll be playing on the porch.
I want to be playing the banjo here, but you know the word.
You wanted to say retarded, but you didn't say retarded, but that's what you wanted to say.
So actually, and I haven't messed with a lot of genetics for a long time, but line breeding isn't as bad, believe it or not, as it is to breed a brother to a sister that kind of situation, because the genetic line breeding separates it out. So now you've got an animal, the son, that's part mom, part dad, against the mom that's pure mom, right? But if you do a brother and a sister, they're both mixed, mom and dad, the same mix. You just don't know which one has which percentage of influence, right? So I know there are some programs, especially in cattle and other livestock, I believe, that they do some specific line breeding if they have really nice traits they're trying to pursue in the female or the male.
Is that true with humans, that you're safer if you do it with your mother than with your sister? I mean, I'm serious. I'm serious. If you had to just pick one, okay, which one is the least risky?
We created a beautiful
I'm
trial.
Leaving now.
I'm out.
New from Parker Brothers Incest. And your whole family
we keep him in the closet.
Oh, man. I hear what Dr. Doug says. Well, we created a beautiful family, implying he married his sister. Oh, my goodness. Okay, Jeremiah, I bet you're sorry you called, probably, but thank you.
No, this is great. I want to call again, first-time caller, but I've been listening to the show for, I can't say long-time listener, but, I mean.
You will be.
You will be. down the road, you'll be able to say long-time listener. Jeremiah, call anytime.
Jeremiah,
thank you.
Jeremiah, before you go, I have one thing for you.
And that would be great if we hadn't already done that 10 minutes ago.
I know.
Yes. All right, thank you, Jeremiah.
All right, thank you much.
All right, I think we have we can get one more in here. Let's get Brian in here. Brian, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hi to Dr. Doug.
Hey, Doc.
Hey, Brian.
So this is just a curiosity question. We have a pet rat in the house.
Mm-hmm.
He's about a year and a half old, and last night I was sitting on the couch, and the wife had him out, and he was just kind of exploring the sofa. And she gave him a treat, and he proceeded to eat the treat while he was sitting on my lap. And she said that that was significant because it means that he trusts me, that I guess to not take the treat away from him or something. Do you have any insight into that?
You dirty rat, you. I think that's probably true, that the rat feels comfortable with you. And I think I got my daughter her first pet rat when she was 2 years old. And
now, you know that to a lot of people listening who don't know, we're not kidding. They go, are you a rat? No, a rat, not a sewer rat or New York City subway rat, but a rat is a pet to a lot of people. They buy them as pets.
One of the best house pets.
Here comes Ben.
Uh-oh, something's happening.
No more.
We have 1 minute. You got a minute to take care of Brian here.
Okay. So, Brian, I think they're great pets. I've always had them as pets. I see a ton of them at the clinic. You'd be surprised how popular they are.
A ton. That's 2,000 pounds of rats.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot of rats.
So, yeah. And there's a whole group, a whole community.
He's really cool.
Yeah, they are.
45 seconds.
We like it very much. I think rats are really special. Go ahead and get to keep one.
I don't know what that was. Brian, thank you.
I think he said to keep it and just enjoy it.
Well, my grandson had one, and he killed it. And that's just the truth. He killed it.
That story.
Well, he was a little, I don't remember if he just rough with it or neglected it or whatever, but no more rats for him. Well, Dr. Doug, I'm glad you're able to come in. Make it a habit if you can.
Yeah, no,
because
I
obviously
love to be
don't
on.
Know, you don't know how to talk on a phone or how to hold a cell phone, because it's just every week we have to scold you about that, but not when you come in, so you're welcome anytime. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Doctor. Courtesy of Window World, the number one selling replacement window in this country. The preferred window of the Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues, and hopefully your next window when the time comes that you need to replace your windows, and it will if you live there long enough. More at windowworldstlouis.com. The Playhouse is next after Tim's News. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is the voice of the Fighting Illini, Brian Barnhart, and you're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. A veteran diplomat's concerns about U.S. pressure on Ukraine are highlighted in transcripts of his deposition in the House impeachment probe.
William Taylor said it was his clear understanding that planned U.S. military aid would be withheld unless Ukraine agreed to pursue political investigation.